Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. Coming up on today's show, Donald Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan really got underway this week as opening statements took place on Monday. Then, of course, we had that gag order violation hearing on Tuesday. And so far, nothing is going Donald Trump's way because his lawyers are just doing that bad of a job. I'll bring you all the details. A new poll shows that RFK Jr. is in fact pulling more support away from Donald Trump than he is from President Biden, and that is likely why Donald Trump has recently taken to attacking Bobby far more than he has in the past. We also have a Democratic representative, Benny Thompson, who has introduced legislation that would address one of the major complications of throwing Donald Trump in jail. And Steve Bannon has some really horrific advice for Donald Trump that, if Trump follows it, would definitely result in Donald Trump going to jail. All that and much more coming up on this week's Ring of Fire. And don't forget, if you want the full show every week, sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com. And for Ring of Fire every day of the week, follow us on YouTube. Go subscribe at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. On Monday, we had the first real day of Donald Trump's criminal trial. All of last week, of course, was jury selection, but we really got into the meat of it on Monday with opening statements. But before the opening statements even began, Judge Juan Merchan held what's called a Sandoval hearing, where he let Donald Trump know what would happen if he decides to take the stand and, of course, gets cross-examined by the prosecutors. Now, Donald Trump has hinted repeatedly that he totally wants to take the stand and defend himself at that trial, and pretty much all legal experts agree that that would be the worst thing in the world for him to do, and if everybody tells him not to do it, he's more likely to do it, so this is going to be a disaster for him. But the judge read off a series of things that would happen. And of course, throughout the whole thing, Donald Trump was reportedly shaking his head, not happy at all with what the judge was telling him would happen. So here's the way it went down. This is from Raw Story. The judge ruled that an excess Hollywood tape in which Trump brags about sexually assaulting women was fair play for the prosecution. Merchan also allowed Trump's gag order violations and the ruling against him in a civil fraud case to come into play. The judge went on to say Trump could be confronted with two defamation cases brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Two juries found him liable for the defamation, of course. And all of basically what the judge is saying is like, listen, you want to take the stand, I'm not going to stop you. But I'm also not going to stop these guys over here from bringing up all of the horrible things that you have done. Because... now, the judge didn't go into this, but I will explain the because what we're doing, if we're the prosecutors here, is establishing a pattern of behavior. We're establishing, by bringing up the fraud trial, that this is a guy that easily cooks the books. He has been found liable for cooking the books, so it's likely if he did it in one instance, he would totally do it with the hush money payment. And then, of course, whether or not he wanted to keep somebody quiet because of his horrible actions, well, we already know he engages in this kind of horrible behavior because two defamation juries have also found him liable for that. So, not to mention, of course, the Access Hollywood tape, he is definitely a womanizer. All of that seemingly irrelevant information is actually super relevant to this case. It may not be the exact same thing, but what the prosecutors are going to do with the jury by telling them stories they obviously already know is they're going to establish that pattern of behavior. This is a guy that cheats on his spouse. So that part of the story with him and Stormy Daniels, 100% believable. This is a guy that has no respect for women. So paying off a woman to just keep quiet, obviously something he would do. He has no problem committing fraud. So lying about what the payment was for, totally something he would do. He has no respect for women. So thinking he can buy them off, definitely something he would do. And through the fraud trial, we also saw that he will do whatever it takes to get ahead. So again, paying somebody to stay quiet so he could win an election definitely fits within that pattern of behavior. So I'm glad the judge made the decision to allow these things to happen in cross-examination, but it only happens if Donald Trump takes the stand, which before Monday he was gung-ho about it, but I'm willing to bet at this point he's probably having some second thoughts about now. Presidential polling data is still all over the place, and depending on which poll you're looking at on any given day, it's going to tell you either that Donald Trump is ahead or President Biden is ahead, and then 2 or 3 days later, it'll probably tell you the opposite. As it stands right now, though, in the polling aggregates, Biden is still beating Donald Trump, and he is ahead in most of the polls. But a very interesting new poll came out from NBC News. NBC News, in a head-to-head matchup between President Biden and Donald Trump, actually has Donald Trump ahead by 2 points. But that's only when there's two candidates on the ballot. When they expanded and included all 5 people that are running for president, you know, the most high-profile 5, Biden, Trump, Bobby Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein, suddenly President Biden is the one ahead by 2 points. And what the pollsters found was that when you include these other individuals in the poll, Kennedy takes 15% of Donald Trump's support away from him, while only taking 7% of Biden's support away from him. The poll also found that Republicans have a much more favorable opinion of RFK Jr. 40% of Republicans polled said they had a favorable view of him, compared to just 16% of Democrats. So this poll confirms what previous polls done several months ago also found, and that is that RFK Jr., his base of support is not people on the left, it's actually people on the right, and his candidacy is more than likely going to affect Donald Trump more than it's going to affect President Biden. This poll did confirm that. This poll has a 3.1% margin of error, which is about 0.1% more than you want, but given the horrific margins of errors we've seen from other polls, this one's pretty much, you know, I'd say it's trustworthy for the most part. But RFK Jr. is presenting a very big problem for Donald Trump. And that is why in recent weeks, Donald Trump has come out and he is attacking RFK Jr. more and more, because their internal polling is telling them the same thing. You know, Steve Bannon had hyped up Bobby Kennedy. Roger Stone had, all these other right-wing outlets back in the early days of his candidacy were hyping up Bobby Kennedy Jr. like, oh, look at this guy. He's going to take votes away from the Democrats. But Bobby was actually, with his talking points, appealing more to people on the right. So they hyped him up, and now they're losing voters to him. So they created their own mess. Like so very many things, by the way, in the Republican Party today, they're creating their own enemies. They're creating their own demise. Because apparently that's the only thing Republicans know how to do. But this one, you know, hyping up Bobby Kennedy Jr., then suddenly panicking when he's taking your supporters away, that one is probably going to cost them the most. One of the most frequent questions that I've received from viewers and listeners to Ring of Fire every time I do a Q&A is, what happens to Donald Trump if he goes to jail and he still has Secret Service protection? And that is a question that the media has also asked and unfortunately been unable to answer, because the real answer is that nobody knows. Thanks to a bill signed by former President Obama back when he was still president, former presidents get Secret Service protection for life. Now, a lot of people already thought that happened, but no. Actually, prior to that bill that Obama signed, you only got it for 10 years, then you're on your own. But Obama, of course, said, you know what? Let's do it for the rest of our lives. And at that point, okay, not really that big of a deal. But now it's a big deal when we have a former president who is looking at the very real prospect of going to prison, and it's not really fair to force Secret Service agents to sit in a prison cell with him 24 hours a day. Luckily, a Democratic lawmaker this past week introduced a bill that would address that. Democratic lawmaker Benny Thompson introduced legislation called the Disgraced Former Protectees Act that would strip anybody receiving Secret Service protection of their protection if they are convicted of a felony. Now, he made it clear this is about Donald Trump. And Benny Thompson also understands Democrats don't control the House of Representatives, so this legislation is absolutely not going to pass. But I'll get more to that in a minute, and it's still a very smart idea. But here's what he said. Unfortunately, current law doesn't anticipate how Secret Service protection would impact the felony prison sentences of a protectee, even a former president. It is regrettable that it has come to this, but this previously unthought-of scenario could become our reality. This measure would apply to former President Trump if he is convicted of a felony, and if passed, the measure would remove some of the potential complications and logistical concerns that would come with incarcerating the 77-year-old former president should he be sentenced to serve time behind bars. And yes, this has been a concern of the prosecutors. It's been a concern of judges. They're like, what do I do? Because he's got these people that have to be around him every minute of every day. Do I send them to jail too? Like, how does that work? How do jails handle that? These people coming in and out every single day. Benny Thompson smartly said, okay, you got a concern with this? This is a big problem. I'll handle it. I'll handle it with this piece of legislation right here. Let's get this done right now, he says. Again, not going to pass. So why bother, right? Well, the why bother is because we've got an election coming up in November. Republicans aren't looking too good in that election. Democrats have the real chance to retain the Senate, maybe pick up a seat or two, who knows? And they're more than likely going to take back the House of Representatives. At that point, all Benny Johnson has to do is change the date on his legislation, reintroduce it, bring it to the floor, and pass it. So what he's done right now is he's put it out there in the ether. And he's done the groundwork, right? He's got it framed up, written up, ready to go. It's not going to pass right now, but next January could be a totally different story. So this was a good idea. Put the thought out there right now to the judges who will be delivering sentences if he is convicted. Let them know, hey, I got you covered, so you don't have to worry about it. That's a pretty smart idea. Donald Trump loves to admit that he's really bad at hiring people, or that he's really good at hiring people that he thinks are really bad. Donald Trump has attacked countless former people that have worked for him, both when he was president of the United States and, of course, when he was just a private guy. I mean, he has attacked Michael Cohen, his former lawyer slash fixer. Guy worked for him for 20 years, and now Trump says he's the dumbest, worst guy he's ever worked with. Then, of course, we have all the people from his administration, multiple different chiefs of staff, his own attorney general, William Barr, numerous staffers, cabinet members, all of these people that he worked for or worked for him that he personally picked. He's now like, oh, yeah, they're the biggest dumbass I've ever seen. And it didn't stop this past weekend either when he took aim at two former members of his inner circle, including his former chief of staff, General John Kelly. Here is what Donald Trump posted on Sunday on Truth Social. So many lightweights and fakes go on MSNBC and CNN, along with other ratings-challenged networks and platforms, purporting to know me as though they were a long-lost relative, only to have virtually no knowledge of me or anything about me. A weak and pathetic rhino named Miles Taylor, who worked with one of the dumber generals around, John Kelly, speaks as though he has intimate knowledge of everything Trump. Other than seeing him on TV, I have no idea from the administration days who the hell he is. I assume a con man because he gets paid for talking about a subject he knows nothing about. Me. But that doesn't matter to NBC, to me, one of the worst news organizations in the world. There are many other of these phonies as well, and I'll tell you all. I'll let you all know who they are as soon as I get a chance. Truth. he ended with. I'll let you know as soon as I get a chance. I got a list of these people right here, and I know because I hired them. You're telling me that John Kelly is one of the dumber generals that the United States military has ever produced. You hired him to be your chief of staff. You've said similar things about Bill Barr. You picked him to be your attorney general. Like, you have said this about so many people that served in your administration that it's becoming an issue not with these people, but with you. Now, of course, you say these things because now these people have come out and they've talked about how much you suck and they hate you and all that. That's why you've turned against them. But that doesn't change the fact that you hired them. Okay, you're the guy that said, yes, welcome to my team. So you do realize, I mean, you have to know to a degree that when you go out there and say that, wow, this person's a knuckle-dragging idiot, that a lot of the public's like, well, wait a minute. Didn't you hire this guy? Aren't you the one who said, yes, welcome to our team? So why would you hire somebody that you know is so dumb? Right? That doesn't make any sense. It means you're a bad boss or you're really bad at getting a sense of what people are all about. Either way, definitely not the qualities we want in somebody who wants to be president of the United States. But luckily, Donald Trump continuously tells us how bad he is at pretty much everything. On Tuesday of this week, we had the gag order violation hearing where Donald Trump's lawyers did not do him any favors. In fact, the judge at one point got so pissed off at Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, for basically downplaying all the violations that he actually had to warn Trump's lawyer in front of a jury that you are losing all of your credibility. But it's what happened Monday in the courtroom that really shredded Trump's lawyer's credibility due to the fact that Monday was, of course, opening statements. And Trump's lawyers did not do him any favors because they continuously sent mixed messages to the jury. Here's what happened. Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, starts off by telling the jury, Donald Trump is totally innocent. And then he goes on to say that, yeah, crimes were committed, but my guy didn't do them. And even if he did do them, then at that point, they would not be crimes. Let me read you some of this. President Trump is innocent. President Trump did not commit any crimes. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office should never have brought this case. And while Trump is larger than life, he's also a man, a husband, a father, and he's a person just like you and me. You'll learn President Trump had nothing to do with any of those 34 pieces of paper, except he signed the checks in the White House while he was running the country. That's not a crime. I have a spoiler alert for you. It's called democracy. So, Trump is innocent, and he didn't even do it. But what happened was bad. But if Trump did do it, then it's actually not a crime because he was in the White House at the time. That is a hell of a message to send to the jurors, telling them that crimes were committed, but my guy didn't do it. And if he did do it, then it's technically not a crime at that point. So good luck with that argument, you dumbass. I mean, honestly, genuinely, legal experts were shocked at how horrific these opening statements were. Okay, we're already dealing with a jurisdiction that is fairly anti-Trump, right? They did struggle with the jury selection because you've got a lot of liberals on there, and it came out later in the week. You know, more and more liberals had to be excused, or at least anti-Trump people. But you're telling them that he didn't do it, but that he also may have done it, and it's a crime if he didn't do it, but it's not a crime if he did do it. The jury has no idea how to make sense of any of that. And it certainly didn't help that the very next day, the judge tells the lawyer, you're losing all your credibility. So things are off to an exceptionally bad start for Donald Trump's lawyers. Opening arguments are the first battle, right? That is the first line of defense. That is where you go out and you make your case. That is where you can either win over a jury or immediately lose them, at which point you have to try to win them back throughout the rest of the case. And I can promise you, based on the weak arguments put forward by Donald Trump's lawyers, they lost the jury. So it is now up to them to try to win them back, which is going to be a Herculean feat considering the mountain of evidence against Donald Trump. Poor Donald Trump just can't seem to stay awake during the trial that is ultimately going to possibly determine his fate for the rest of his life. You would think, with so much at stake, right, his freedom, his re-election chances, all of that at stake with this criminal trial, you would think that that would be enough to create, you know, anxiety in somebody to the point where they can't sleep. But not Donald Trump, oh God, no. And on Monday, it was reported by New York Times reporter Suzanne Craig that Donald Trump fell asleep once again. So his fifth day in court, and he has now fallen asleep four times. Here's what Suzanne Craig said. Trump is struggling to stay awake. His eyes were closed for a short period. He was jolted awake when Todd Blanche, his lawyer, nudged him while sliding a note in front of him. So this was during like the beginning of the real trial, right? We're past jury selection Monday when this happened. We got opening arguments happening, opening statements, and Trump is just dozing off like nothing matters. His lawyer had to nudge him and wake him up. This is the same guy, by the way, who calls President Biden Sleepy Joe. And yet Donald Trump doesn't have the stamina to stay awake to pay attention to the court case that could determine how the rest of his life plays out. Okay, he's not in court for a traffic violation. Okay, he's not in there to find out, okay, what kind of fine do I owe you? He could go to jail. And if he goes to jail, if he gets that felony conviction, he's going to lose the election. And those things are obviously going to impact how the rest of his life goes. A guilty verdict, by the way, from this jury is also probably going to weigh heavily on all of the other criminal trials that he's facing. Once you break that seal and get a criminal conviction, it is going to be 1,000 times easier for other juries for those other cases to say, oh, we can do that? Good to know. And this guy can't stay awake to find out if that's even going to happen. And the reason I even talk about this is because imagine for 1 second that President Biden was doing anything, that he was sitting in a meeting, he was meeting with a foreign leader, or if he were in court and he dozed off. That would be headline news across every single media outlet in the United States for days. Right? We'd have Sleepygate, where you'd have sleep experts coming on the programs, MSNBC and Fox News, telling us how horrible this is for Biden. All over the media, left and right, everybody would be going after Biden if he dozed off for a few moments. And now Trump has done it 4 times in 5 days in court. And at this point, it's barely a blip on the radar because everything with Donald Trump becomes so normalized that we're just expected to accept that this is what happens now. No, this isn't normal. This is a very bad sign, and it could be indicative of something seriously wrong with Donald Trump. So the hush money trial in Manhattan is not the only hearing that Donald Trump has had this week. Obviously, on Thursday, he's got the big one in front of the Supreme Court that he's not allowed to attend. But also on Monday was the hearing with Judge Arthur Engoron about the bond payment that he made through Knight Specialty Insurance Company, which, of course, is owned by a good buddy of his. They put up the $175 million bond. And then, of course, New York Attorney General Letitia James had raised a bunch of questions about some of the problems the company had with the judge, to the point where the judge had said a couple weeks ago, we've got to do a hearing on this. And as I said, they did the hearing on Monday, where the judge eventually, after many, many concessions from Trump's people, said, okay, I accept the bond. So a couple of the concessions that Donald Trump's lawyers made, and this was actually one of the big issues brought up by Letitia James, was that originally the bond was put forward and Trump backed it up with an account with the money in it, but he still had access to the cash. So even though that cash was backing the bond, Donald Trump could have still, in theory, withdrawn the cash. He could have moved it. He could have made massive purchases. And that, under New York law, totally not allowed. So one of the concessions they made is, okay, we will not touch the money. Trump will not touch the money. Nobody can have access to it at all. So they made that concession. The second concession they made is that, okay, also, you know what? We will, at your request, give you monthly updates on the financial status. We'll tell you how everything is. We'll show you what everything is. We're not going to touch it, and we'll give you proof every month that we didn't touch it. Judge said, okay. But what really sealed the deal was that Donald Trump's lawyer, Christopher Keese, decided to just give up the farm. Because at one point during a back and forth where, you know, the prosecutor's office was like, hey, this bond is not acceptable. We don't know if he's actually got the money. Trump's lawyer Keese jumped in and said this. There's hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate that the defendants own right here in the city that could be seized with the stroke of your pen. Oops. Because it was shortly after that that the judge says, judge accepts it and court is adjourned. So here's what happened. Let me explain that to you so that you understand the significance of what Trump's idiot lawyer said. He said, listen, even if the guy touches the money that's backing the bond, right? Even if they can't pay it, don't forget, he has so much property around here that you could just, you know, sign off on it and you could just start taking it from him right now if you wanted. So what's the big deal? And at that point, the prosecution agreed. They were like, you know what? Yep, we're good. And the judge was like, fantastic. We'll do it. I'll hold you to your word. Gavels it out. Done. So Trump's lawyer has now given the court the green light to, if Trump doesn't pay, you guys can immediately start seizing his assets. The judge accepted that. Like, that was an argument from Trump's lawyer. It was essentially an offer made to the court. And the judge said, deal. So, oopsie daisies, you probably shouldn't have said that because you were already, like, good to go. But you added that. That is now official. It is now a part of the ruling. And if Trump misses a single dollar, his assets can now be seized, thanks to his idiot lawyer. Steve Bannon considers himself to be a very staunch ally of Donald Trump, but nevertheless, he seems to be giving Donald Trump some really horrific advice right now that, of course, would, if Trump follows it, end up with Donald Trump going to jail. As we all know, to start off this trial last week, Judge Juan Merchan told Donald Trump specifically and explicitly, if you do not show up for court, you are required to be here every single day, and if you do not show up, I will put you in jail. Clear as day. That is the punishment. If Trump doesn't show up to court, he gets held in contempt, put in jail, and the trial continues with him in absentia. Sorry. So Steve Bannon this week came out with a brilliant idea. Obviously, Donald Trump's got a pretty significant hearing at the Supreme Court on Thursday about his immunity. And Steve Bannon says, skip court in New York and just go to that hearing. Here's what Bannon said. Thursday is also on another topic, the immunity situation. One of the most important arguments in the history of the Supreme Court. Of course, President Trump won't be there. If I was President Trump, I'd go to the immunity thing and let him put me in a jail cell. And I'd go to Barron's graduation. I'd do both of them and say, come on, dude, stand up to him. Just do it. See how the chips fall. The chips fall with him in a jail cell. The judge has already said that. The judge says, you can't go to the Supreme Court hearing, and if you do, I'm going to put you in jail. And Bannon's like, just do it, man. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst that could happen is that he goes to jail. And I know you're not worried about that, because you're going to end up going to jail, too, for your, you know, thing. But, like, we know where the chips will fall. But there's two reasons why Steve Bannon is doing this. First and foremost, he does want Donald Trump to show up at the Supreme Court, because when those justices on that bench, including the three that he put there, see him in person, that's going to be a pretty big amount of intimidation. And without Trump there, they're not going to feel that intimidation. So Bannon wants him to go because of that. But the bigger reason why Bannon wants him to skip court and go to jail is because Bannon seems to be laboring under the delusion, much like Trump and Alina Habba as well, that if he gets put in jail, he'll automatically win the election because people will feel sorry for him and vote for him. That's not true. I mean, the polls literally show us the opposite. If Trump goes behind bars, you have a huge portion of the Republican Party that says, I won't vote for him. So if we get that image of Donald Trump sitting in a jail cell, millions of voters across this country are going to be like, you know what? I can't. That's a bridge too far. I'm not going to do it. So Bannon and Trump and Alina Habba, as I said, they're all thinking, oh, if that happens, I'll be the next Nelson Mandela. No, like polls are telling you, no, you will lose if you go into jail. That is a fact. Not to mention the fact that it's also likely going to mean that you lose your case because it's going to show to the jury that you're a guy that doesn't like to follow the rules and you can pretty much guarantee a conviction on that point. And then, of course, you will go to jail for real, real. So it's a lose, lose, lose situation for Donald Trump. And Steve Bannon, ever the political strategist, is literally out there telling him, just do it, man, and see what happens. This is probably going to be the only time in my life where I say, you know what? I hope Trump listens to Steve Bannon because it will be hilarious to see where those chips fall. And that's it for the free portion of this week's Ring of Fire podcast. But don't forget, you can get the full show every week by signing up and becoming a member at ROFpodcast.com.